Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 13th on the West Coast, and now May the 14th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Tonight, I've got a pretty regular Thursday night guest, although I've moved him around the schedule a little bit lately so we could try to bring back a couple of people that haven't been on for several months, some up to even a year, actually. Those of you that listened to the show last week know that we had Lindsey Williams on the show, and it's been a while since we had him, so Drew got a night off last week because of that crowded schedule. Drew Malone Raines III, who is a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. I'm going to bring him on in a moment. He's waiting in the wings, but I want to share a news story with you. We've been talking about this, what they're calling an oil spill. It's a blowout. They keep saying oil spill. A spill is when you tip something over And it is released because of gravity. It falls to the ground. In this case, it's oil, and we're talking about thousands of barrels of oil a day, at least 5,000 barrels of oil a day. And I've been listening to several interviews. I listened to the congressional hearings. I heard nothing but lies and innuendo, and everybody's posturing, wanting to blame someone else. Well, the bottom line is the oil cartel is to blame. We could have much more advanced technologies producing power for us, and oil has seen its day. Now, I want to read something to you before we bring on tonight's guest, and this is going to be a busy night, folks. We're probably not going to take any calls tonight, just because we have so much to cover. This article comes from the guardian.co.uk. It's entitled, BP Boss Admits Job on the Line Over Gulf Oil Spill. There you have it. They use the term spill again. This is written by Tim Webb. Under pressure, BP Boss promises to fix earlier bumpy errors, and he claims, I will be judged by the response, says Tony Hayward. Tony Hayward, the beleaguered chief executive of BP, has claimed its oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico is relatively tiny compared with the very big ocean. In a bullish interview with The Guardian at BP's Crisis Center in Houston, Hayward insisted that the leaked oil and the estimated 400,000 gallons of dispersant that BP has pumped into the sea to try to tackle the slick should be put in context. The Gulf of Mexico is a very big ocean. The amount of volume of oil and dispersant we are putting into it is tiny in relation to the total water volume, he said. U.S. authorities estimate that about 5,000 barrels of oil a day are leaking from the damaged pipeline lying on the seabed after attempts to stem the flow failed. The spill began just over 3 weeks ago when a buildup of gas erupted from a well being drilled by BP in a seabed about 1,500 meters or 5,000 feet below sea level. When the gas ignited at the surface, the explosion sunk the rig, the Deepwater Horizon, and 11 workers were killed. Hayward promised that BP would fix the disaster, which is on course to eclipse the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill as the biggest U.S. oil spill in history. We will fix it. I guarantee it. The only question is we do not know when. But the BP boss admitted for the first time that his job was on the line because of the Gulf of Mexico disaster. Asked if he felt if his job was already under threat, he replied, I don't know at the moment. That, of course, may change. I will be judged by the nature of the response. Hayward stressed that BP's efforts to continue the spill had succeeded in dispersing the oil and preventing large amounts reaching the shoreline around the Gulf. But environmentalists are concerned about the unseen damage being done to marine life by the oil, which is sinking to the seabed. Hayward said that BP was increasingly confident that progress was being made in trying to find ways to seal the faulty blowout preventer, which failed to shut down the well and stem the flow of oil. This week, U.S. politicians attacked BP and the other companies involved in the drilling when they gave evidence at Senate hearings into the disaster. But Hayward insisted that deep water drilling would continue in the U.S. despite the growing environmental and political backlash against the company. Apollo 13, the unsuccessful third mission to the moon in 1970, did not stop the space race, he said. Neither did the Air France plane last year coming out of Brazil, which mysteriously crashed. Stopped the world airline industry flying people around the world. It's the same for the oil industry. He pointed out that the Gulf of Mexico, much of it in deep waters, represented one-third of the U.S.'s oil and gas production. He insisted that BP was in far better shape to respond to the disaster than it was 5 years ago under his predecessor, Lord Brown. In 2005, 15 workers died in an explosion at BP's Texas refinery. BP was then fined a record 53 million pounds by the U.S. authorities, who also criticized the company's safety culture. BP also suffered a pipeline leak in Alaska in 2006. In the last 4 or 5 years, we have made major improvements in safety performance. It has made the company much better. 4 years ago, it could have been very different, Hayward said. BP's share price has slumped since the disaster. BP told the city yesterday it had now spent $450 million, or 304 million pounds, fighting the oil leak. But some analysts put BP's total bill for the cleanup and damages at $23 billion. President Barack Obama has now proposed scrapping a cap on BP's liability for the spill. Transocean, the world's largest offshore drilling contractor, which owns the Deepwater Horizon, filed papers in a Houston court on Thursday seeking to limit its legal liability to $27 million. Hayward said it was unwise to speculate about the direct causes of the accident before investigations had been completed. There is a lot of speculation, red herrings, and hearsay. He also admitted that BP had made mistakes in its early response to the crisis. It initially refused to compensate fishermen who were unable to produce written proof of their normal earnings. Most keep no such records. He also said BP had made a mistake when fishermen signing up to help with the relief effort were required to sign agreements limiting their receipt of any future damages from BP. It was a bit bumpy to get it going. We made a few little mistakes early on. Now, that's the end of the article, and I have to tell you that all they talk about is money. There's no real discussion amongst these people, and I'm not saying the author of the article so much as the people from the oil company. All they care about is money. Forget about any destruction to the planet. After all, they make a product that pollutes the air. And as the air settles on all the things that we have on land or gets breathed into our lungs, they don't really care about that either. When are people going to take responsibility for what they do? Now, I watched the Senate hearings last night for several hours and on C-SPAN, and I have to tell you, it was another dog and pony show. each one pointing fingers at the other that they were responsible, and they all are responsible, all of them, as well as the Congress and the Senate. And the committee men making political statements about we have to do this and we have to do that, that has nothing to do with the fact that this is a major assault on all life, all over the planet. Think about it. If you or I, in my listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, were to take a quart of oil and get caught by the Coast Guard dumping it into water, we'd be thrown in jail immediately. Why are these people walking the streets? Why aren't they in jail? After all, their alleged accident has caused the death of 11 people. But there's no thought about the families of those people, whether or not they have wives or children, parents, grandparents. There's no thought of that. There's no expression of any humanity, any concern. Their hearts are in their rear ends. And the truth will out on this. We've heard nothing but lies. I heard these people lie last night, and I can tell you, the Congress, we have to get rid of the Congress, too. We've got to get those senators and congressmen out of Washington and throw them in jail for their corruption. And we're going to be talking about more of that. I want to thank tonight's guest for allowing me to read that and make a short rant here. As I mentioned, we're bringing back tonight a talk show host and researcher in his own right. He hosts a show Monday through Friday. Actually, I should say Sunday through Friday, depending on where you are in the world. Here in the States, it's Sunday through Friday on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. The show was called A Marine's Disquisition. My good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
I love it. You almost got it right out there from the Wind Talkers that were laughing in my other earpiece. And if he had said Monday through Saturday, it had been safe. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Drew Malone Raines III. To all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi. Yeah, this is your favorite loudmouth out here. And it happens to be Friday in most of your homes around there. And we're heard live right now around the world from Simferopol, Ukraine, Sochi, Russia, Kazan, Russia, as well as the outback of Australia. And thank you, Don. I appreciate the invite. And I love what you read there, with one exception. I'm an oil guy. My father was a wildcatter.
Mm-hmm.
He was a World War II Marine veteran. My ancestry goes in the Marine Corps all the way back to the 1700s. And there's been just a couple of those men that were that have gone through history. And notably, one was the bodyguard for George Washington. And the other one, who doesn't even carry the namesake of Rain, that was my great-great-uncle on my mother's side of the family, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. And your era, you said hundreds of barrels or 5,000 barrels of oil a day.
Barrels,
and,
not gallons, barrels.
I understand. I said barrels.
Yeah.
And that works out to be, and most people out there in the civilian world, they think, oh, 55-gallon barrel, 5,000 barrels, that works out to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25,000, maybe 30,000 barrels of oil. You're wrong.
No.
It is 40-gallon barrels in the oil industry, and it's not just a few thousand, it's not just 1,000 or 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
It is 200,000 barrels of oil per day.
I'm just reading their...
I know you're reading what the mainstream press wants you to read, and I've got the stats here from Oil and Gas Magazine reporter out of Tulsa, Oklahoma there on... he's a reporter that works at Oil and Gas Magazine on I think it's Fifth Avenue and Memorial. Or Fifth West Fifth Street and Memorial. And the articles, most of the articles around the world have been throwing out this thousands of barrels of crude oil. And the point I'm making, Don, is not to ridicule you. It is to bring forth the idea that the news articles that we're reading says thousands. But what they leave out is the word hundreds of thousands of barrels of crude are steadily crushing in oil and gas. They did not cut it out. They actually put, and this is coming out in the July issue of oil and gas, that hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil are leaking at a rate per day equal to one accident from the oil spill in Alaska. And the oil spill in Alaska is equal to one day of this oil volcano. And I say oil volcano because this is hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil shooting up every day, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, as pointed out on my radio show by the illustrious down the hole rabbit guy with his going down the hole with a spoon and coming out with a crane, Don Nikoloff said last Monday that where's peak oil at? And Don Nikoloff hit the nail with a sledgehammer, but he failed to tell everybody the sledgehammer he was using was 2,000 pounds and the nail was a 10 penny. Because there is no peak oil. Don Nikoloff asked the question very succinctly, and all of a sudden, Marines around the world started, hey, he's right. He's right. Don Nikoloff's right. Where's all the peak oil at?
Yes.
And it mushroomed.
Well, I've been saying that for a number of years, as you have, Drew, but there's the question right in front of your face, you see. And the media, the mainstream media, didn't bring it up. Now, this hearing that I saw last night, which took place all day yesterday and the day before, they alluded to 210,000 gallons. That's all they said. Well, you know, so far there's 210,000 gallons that leaked. So, you know, that there's a big difference between a gallon and a barrel.
I understand it, and that's because of the lying that they're doing. Any oil well driller, anybody that's ever done wildcat work, anybody that's ever worked on an offshore, they understand, especially working under pressure. Now, with pressure wells out there, especially this well, this a lot of people think this is just one well. This, ladies and gentlemen, it's one offshore platform. One platform may have as many as 20 wells on it. So we're not talking about one well.
Yes.
We're talking about 20 wells.
Yes. Now,
and they're gushing this oil from Mother Earth at a rate of approximately, you know, I don't have the exact number, but I'm going to tell you that the oil and gas people that I personally have talked to are talking about roughly 200,000 barrels every 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be 180,000 barrels or even 160,000 barrels, but we're talking barrels, ladies and gentlemen, 160,000. Slap that up, slap it and multiply it by 40.
Yeah. Now we got an anonymous caller sent in a message, which just popped up on my chat window that, actually.
I love anonymous callers. Well, way to go.
It's 42 gallons, but I think.
42 gallons. And he's right. I was just him hauling around. It's 42 gallons. In the oil industry.
Might be a sheep.
That's exactly right.
But
that's a far cry from 55 gallons that a lot of people think about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to point that out because, and of course, we didn't hear anything about put options at all, you see.
No! Do you want to know how much money Goldman Sachs and all the other gamblers in in Wall Street are doing?
Well, tell us.
I'm waiting on you. I mean, imagine the amount of money that they're making. Goldman Sachs said in an article, or I shouldn't say said in an article, it was leaked an article I ran Monday, that Goldman Sachs said that to some of their elitists to put their put options out on the oil wells, and if in the very near future we're going to become filthy rich.
Mm-hmm. All we need is one well to go out.
Well to go out, quote unquote.
Yeah. And we're going to be filthy rich. Well, we'll keep our eyes posted on this. Now, there are a couple of other things I want to mention, Drew, and of course, talk about. And I've got a clip that I'm going to play. This is actually from April 10th this year. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch mainstream news. But this is a video from Mike Huckabee's show. And John Voight, the actor, was a guest on the show. And this is about a 3-minute, 28-second clip. So I'm going to play this, and we're going to talk about this.
Go right ahead.
John Voight. And John, before we took the break, I said you had a special message for the people of America. I don't know what it is because you haven't shared it with me yet. So I'm going to hear it as the people of this country hear it, but I'm anxious to hear it because I believe you have been gifted with extraordinary wisdom and insight into this nation's particular predicament right now.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Governor. This is a letter I wrote, and I'd like to read it for the American people. So let me just say, in 1 year, the American people are witnessing the greatest lie that is cleverly orchestrated by President Obama and his whole administration. The lie is a potent aggression that feeds the needs of people who either have not educated themselves enough to understand the assault upon us all, or the very poor and needy who live to be taken care of. President Obama feeds these people poison, giving them the idea that they are entitled to take from the wealthier who have lived and worked in a democracy that understands that capitalism is the only truth that keeps a nation healthy and fed. Now, the lie goes very deep, and President Obama has been cleverly trained in the Alinsky method, and it would be very important that every American knows what that method is. It is a socialistic Marxist teaching, and with it, little by little, he rapes this nation, taking down our defenses, making new language for the Islamic extremists. The world, who looked up to us as a symbol of hope and prosperity, now wonders what will become of the entire world if America is losing its power. The American people who understand exactly what is taking place have come together in the thousands, vowing to try to stay together as a unit of love and freedom for all men and women from all walks of life, shivering to think that this once great nation will be a third world country. This will be the first president to ever weaken the United States of America. President Obama uses his aggression and arrogance for his own agenda against the will of the American people when he should be using his will and aggression against our enemies. Every loving American for peace and truth and the security of our nation must come out and join the Tea Parties in their states. The opposition will continue their tactics. They will lie and plant their own bullies amongst us. Everyone must pay close attention to who stands next to them. We can weed out the liars and agitators. Let us all stay in God's light. Let no man put us under. We can and we will prevail. God bless us all.
John, thank you very much for sharing.
Now, that was John Voight on Mike Huckabee's show on the Fox News Channel, April 10th, 2010. And I don't know if he was aware at the time that tomorrow, May 14th, begins the day, and on the East Coast, that's already today, and in the Central Time Zone, today, for us on the East, begins a trial in New York, in Harlem, otherwise known as Outlaw now, and the long-legged Mac Daddy, as Pastor James David Manning calls him, short-legged Mac Daddy here on Evident Footprints, is going to go under a trial. There's going to be a trial conducted. That begins tomorrow, and it's supposed to run at least until May the 19th, possibly longer. It will be a jury trial. I don't have all the statistics on how many people are going to be drawn from the pool of people that they're going to select for the jury. But I can tell you that evidence is going to be presented, a defense will be presented, and there's going to be a judge the whole nine yards. This is going to be outside of the realm of the corrupt justice system that we have. So it'll be very interesting. But I thought that John Voight's comments were particularly accurate, considering all the things that we've been purporting here on this show and on other shows, just one after another. And the financial crimes that are being committed is just the tip of the iceberg. This issue of the birth certificate, being a foreigner, being ineligible to be the president of the United States, and the lies. And this is going to focus very much on the issues concerning the short-legged Mac Daddy's days in Chicago, as well as his alleged attendance at Columbia University. And I suppose they may even get into the Harvard issue. From what I have seen, and especially after spending the good part of 2010 and the end of 2009 studying and researching Dwight David Eisenhower, I can tell you that my research, I stand by my research, and I hope that some of my research gets out there because it's all there. They could follow my research and lay the case out right there, just with my own my articles and all the things that I reveal. Drew, you and I have both had Pastor James David Manning on our show. And you've spoken with him personally. Tell us about the man. What kind of man is he?
About the most loyal, honest, persevering, caring man that God could put on this planet. He does not see black, yellow, white, purple, red. He sees a human being in his eyes. He does not see an Afro-American, he sees an American. He does not see a Chinese-American, he sees an American. David is probably what God put out here in with the spirit and the bravery to know that he is going to be attacked. But over the course of his lifetime, he is honest. He has lived by the golden rule. He has never lied. He doesn't cheat. He has a congregation of all races, Korean, Chinese, blacks, whites, Hispanic. The man is one of God's children, one of God's chosen. And for those out there that attack Dr. David James David Manning, I will tell you this. Your soul will be sent to hell. You can kiss your posterior goodbye. It may not happen today. If you touch James David Manning's head, hair, family, you will rot in purgatory, fire. That's a fact. This man does not live outside the rule of God's law. And he understands and knows the difference between freedom and liberty. He may have even at one time approved of people, one would say, petitioning the government. But he is tired of the petitions. He's tired of the American people turning their backs on God. But at the same time, he forgives all of us, just like Jesus, just like Yeshua, just like God himself. He understands that our flesh is weak, but at the same time, he lives by the golden rule. You ask me about Dr. James David Manning, I ask you. There is no one out there to judge Dr. James David Manning but Yeshua the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other man on this planet that lives and walks with the love of God, the love of Yeshua, the love of all who believe in a creator, whether we are human beings on this planet or human beings on another planet. Dr. James David Manning does not believe that this is the only planet with human beings on it in the universe. That's what I see in talking with him, in conversing with him several times, in talking with his wife. I have the honor to be able to talk to his wife many, many times because she has a lot of time. Dr. James David Manning hits the deck every morning at 05:15 and puts his head on the pillow at 2,330 hours at night. He sleeps maximum of 6 hours. His wife tells me that he is a workaholic. Everything he does, even when he takes a shower, he's reading something through the shower curtain or the shower stall. When he eats breakfast, he eats breakfast and he's reading as he eats. When he travels in an automobile from his home to the church, he has audio tapes with people that talk to him that have placed it on the CD. He does not waste any time. He is an active individual. For a man in his 60s, he looks like he's a man in his 50s. That's my perception. James David Manning.
Well, on this show, as well as anyone that's seen him on the YouTube videos or gone to his broadcast, is called The Manning Report. And that's heard from, it's 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He used to be on earlier, like around noon.
11 East Coast time. 11 to 1.
No, I think.
Or 11 to 2, I'm sorry. He was at the same time that Loudmouth was out of Florida.
Well, that was noon here. Noon on the East Coast. You're giving
11 a.m. Oh, that's right. That's noon on the East Coast. From 12 to 3. Right.
Yes.
You're right.
3 hour
show. Corrected.
Yeah. So he moved to get a larger audience. And, of course, he went through a lot of intimidation tactics from the powers that be. He was visited a couple of months ago by people identifying themselves as CIA and New York City police detectives, warning
National
him.
National Security Agency, the FBI.
Yeah, Secret Service.
He's had five different, including the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, have all visited his church. They have come in and asked to review the church records. He's opened his books. He doesn't have anything to hide.
And he operates the school, too.
He operates a school. He has a daycare center. When Mr. Manning, Dr. Manning, and his wife fly anywhere in the United States, they buy economy tickets 30 days in advance to get the cheapest fare. He can well afford first class, but he feels that he doesn't, the plane is going there anyway. Why should I pay $900 for a ticket that I only have to pay $250 for?
Yeah.
You see him at an airport, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see a brown bag with him if it's a flight that doesn't serve food and he feels like he needs something to eat. It is, and these are things that I've gotten from his wife.
Yeah.
His favorite snack food, peanut butter and grape jelly sandwiches. Okay? That's his favorite snack food.
Well, it's going to be quite an undertaking because he has subpoenaed some pretty powerful and some pretty famous people. And famous, not necessarily, maybe I should say infamous.
Infamous.
Be a better word. He claims that he has subpoenaed George Stephanopoulos, A.B.
I have seen that. I know the gentleman that served the papers on George.
Yeah, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, Condoleezza Rice, Michael Sovereign, the president of Columbia University, Rod Blagojevich, former governor of Illinois, the one that left in disgrace, and the one whose job was being toyed with by the short-legged Mac Daddy. Let's see, there's a whole list of other...
Well, he also has asked for those of us citizens that can afford to come to New York,
mm-hmm.
that especially if those that live within a 3 to 5 hour drive to come down to Harlem and be involved in one of the protests around New York with their own signs, some of which are where is the birth certificate?
Mm-hmm.
Questions.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking 50,000 people are expected. And he has a church that has a 5,000 population, seating population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be packed. They're setting up big screen televisions out around the area. They've got the gymnasium that he has for the basketball team, for the school, has got big screen TVs mounted in it. This isn't something that can be done for just a few hundred dollars, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. James David Manning is going to let the world know that there are thousands of black citizens of America that believe in the rule of law and do not believe that Barack Hussein Obama is who he is.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition, Drew, to the people I named, he's also subpoenaed some people from the black community, Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson. He mentions this is an important name here, James Cone. James Cone is professor and the founder of the what Pastor Manning says is the whole idea of black theology, and he was the mentor of Jeremiah Wright, who was the pastor of the church that Obama claims he attended in Chicago. And, there's a thing that they keep saying, the church he went to for 20 years. The years don't add up, Drew. They still are not.
They sure don't.
Still now, if you were to add 20 to the time he says he started, it's 20 years has still not passed. Okay? And it won't for another 2 or 3 years. Just on the basis of the story. He's also going to get into the issue of, first of all, James Cone, let me go back to that for a moment here. He was a professor at Union Theological Seminary, basically across the street from Columbia University during the time that Obama is proclaimed to have been at Columbia University. So there could be some very powerful testimony coming out of that. And certainly if he was there and knowing that Wright was under his tutelage, then at least as a mentor, then certainly Obama would have taken classes with him. So he wants to draw that out. He's really looking at a lot of it.
Now, well, he's got volunteer people like the class historian for the class that Obama is supposedly graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
And the valedictorian,
mm-hmm,
who took every course that Barack Hussein Obama said he took to graduate. And yet the valedictorian, who has a photographic memory for names and people, cannot remember Barack Obama or Barry Obama or Barry Swarco or any other name.
Well, if you
Columbia.
Had
to... And here's another thing that Dr. Manning's bringing up. Why does a man that is supposedly born in Hawaii issued a Social Security number from Connecticut?
Yeah. Well, that's just one of many, Drew.
True, but yeah. The one that he uses as the president of the United States is public record,
mm-hmm,
and it is a number assigned to the state of Connecticut,
yeah,
not to Hawaii. So how does a Hawaiian get a Social Security number that is from the state of Connecticut?
And he never even
big question.
Yeah, he never even claimed to have lived in Connecticut. That's the funny thing, you see. So yeah, those are the types of things that I wrote about too, and I point that out because there are people saying, well, 16 Social Security numbers and 80 aliases. There's, on one page alone, I've got on my website 50 aliases. And let me tell you, there are more than 50 pages of aliases.
And so, how many Social Security numbers?
Oh, I lost count. At one point, you know, but it was far more than 16.
I got an IM here from Australia. He says, how does this tie, how will this tie in with the oil gusher in the Gulf?
Any way you want it to. Well, you got somebody mandating whether oil companies can drill or whether they can't drill, whether they have to shut the wells down, you know.
I got three things on this, Don. One, BP paid Barack Obama more money in the last 5 years in their political ploy than any other five senators combined, or 20 congressmen, mm-hmm, combined.
Yeah.
And he outdid all of them.
It all connects.
In the last 5 years.
Yeah. For the listener that sent that in, it all connects. This is nothing.
And
but
here's one of the things that really connects that I don't hear anybody talking about. I will be talking about on my show tomorrow. The Law of the Sea Treaty, formerly known as the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, adopted in 1982, its purpose was to establish comprehensive sets of rules governing the oceans, and to replace previous UN mandates on the law of the sea dating back to 1958 under Dwight David Eisenhower. Dwight David Eisenhower. Oh, was he born in America? I wonder. And the 1960 treaty that was believed to be inadequate. It was also done under Dwight David Eisenhower. And negotiated in the 1970s, the Law of the Sea Treaty was heavily influenced by the new International Economic Order. Sounds like the New World Order, which is a set of economic principles formally advanced by the United Nations on the Trade and Development Treaty. An agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Another way the New International Economic Order, a.k.a. New World Order, is describing it as a redistributionalist. Don, this new Law of the Sea treaty has been set aside for the last 6 years. However, notwithstanding all the concerns about this treaty, there have been, which you and I both know, been many, only the United States Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which Mr. Obama sat on, in 2005, voted 100% to accept the treaty in a unanimous vote. Here today, nothing's been done. We have this catastrophic event, 200,000 barrels, 42 gallons of oil gushing out every day. 200,000 times 42 every day in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's not even supposedly a glass of water in compared to the vast oceans. But think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about one guy walking up to the coastline and saying, it's time for me to light up my cigar. I'm going to use this torch over here, and we're going to snuff this torch out, and we're just going to throw it out there into the Gulf. How long will it take the Gulf to blow and smoke, and how long would it smoke? Because the oil will be black and will blacken the sky. Think about that one, ladies and gentlemen, and think about the law of the land and law of the sea treaty. Obama's got power. A man that can't even prove Drew Malone reigns the third that he is a human being.
Yeah.
I got problems.
And, you know, Drew, it ties into this research I just did. I posted all the documents, and I added commentary on each document page. And there were almost 40 documents there. 40, not one or two, 40. And in all of these letters, over many years, they're complaining about mail. I'm not getting the mail. I'm not getting, you know, your mail problem. We're working on your mail problem. Mail meant money. Mail meant money. The guy wanted the money. He needed to fund his operation. And they were stealing the money in Washington. They were earmarking that money to go to Texas. And he had the complete cooperation of members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate. He had the cooperation of Lyndon Baines Johnson as a senator, as a Texas state representative, and as vice president, and then as president. It's amazing what went on.
And ladies and gentlemen, those of you that think the power of the Lyndon Baines Johnson hierarchy died with Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1972. I got news for you, or 73, in January of 1973. I got news for you. Lady Bird Johnson was the power. Lady Bird Johnson family was the power of Texas. And she controlled Texas from behind the scenes for 35 more years. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to bed tonight. And think about how the Law of the Sea Treaty is creating three new UN bureaucracies and the fact that the Law of the Sea Treaty is the biggest theft of American sovereignty since this nation was created.
Yeah. Now, we've heard John Voight's message, and we've heard the same message from many others. Of course, we are singing the same tune every night on our own.
I beg your pardon. We have been singing the same tune for the last. And Don, I'll be honest with you. Marianne Ponder introduced me to you just a short 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing talk radio for 5 years. I didn't go to college to be a talk radio show host. I was swept into this job mysteriously and accidentally because of my passion and love for America and the fact that I'm a decorated United States Marine, and I'm not going to go quietly in the night, and fellow Marines wanted somebody. 5 years ago in talk radio, you couldn't find a former United States Marine or any Marine anywhere getting on talk radio, Don, and screaming, yelling, passionately caring about America, willing to die for America, take the bullet for people like Frank Whalen, people like Ron Paul, massive others that believed in the truth. And now today, a cool 7 years later from the first time I heard Frank Whalen and called in passionately to his show, there's over 6 former United States Marines who have their own independent shows out there, Don. And Marines around the world are owning their own radio stations, finding out how to put together a small radio station, have put radio stations together in places like Kazan, Russia, Simferopol, Ukraine, Sochi, Russia, the Northern Ireland, island of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, all across America, all across the southern states. You will find a United States Marine behind a micro broadcaster in just about every small community in the South, Don. And this isn't because of me. This is because Marines have got this inherent love for the United States of America, for liberty, for freedom, and they don't want to go quietly in the night, and they're not going to.
Yes. Now,
and they praise you, Don. They constantly send me emails. They constantly say to me that one of the greatest assets out there is the radio shows that they are able to pick up in the evening from one of the informational freedom networks, from BBS Radio. And they say that, you know, it's nice to know that there's a commitment of people behind the scenes that have started the radio stations that aren't out there looking to be millionaires off of radio.
No, it's just about putting the message out there, putting the truth out. That's all it is. That's all we can do. Drew, in our closing minutes here, we still have a little bit of time here yet. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I got news this evening that Dr. Richard Souder, who has written several books on underground bases and underground bases and tunnels. Those are two of the books that he's written recently. He's been on this show a couple of times. I was looking to get him on over the past few months.
What's his name?
Dr. Richard Souder, Ph.D.
How do you spell his last name?
S-A-U-D-E-R.
Okay.
He was arrested. Now, I can't say I condoned what he did, but he was making a statement. I want to read a short portion of something that he wrote. He called this the Minot Manifesto. These truths are self-evident. Both major political parties in the USA are massively criminally corrupt. They are essentially political mafias, tools of the Fortune 500, Wall Street, the U.S. Federal Reserve, and other nefarious interests. The present government of the USA is so mobbed up that 50% of the American people still cannot believe and do not understand that the murderous acts of 9/11 were an inside job by an incredibly Machiavellian parasitic element that has insinuated itself deep into the guts of the American system and that lurks there malevolently, devouring its host from the inside out. But even 50% remnant of true believers in the official propaganda will have their reflexive faith sorely tested as the events of the next year unfold. And he goes on to say, I am a strong proponent of good, honest, ethical government. I feel deeply that the government should adhere to its own rule book, the Constitution. However, the present USA government is so deeply riven with corruption that I cannot help but speak out. And that is why I have left a copy of the United States Constitution at this nuclear missile site. And for that, he was arrested. Now, I suppose he trespassed to do that, but he was making a statement. And it's a courageous statement, I must say.
And I can relate everything that you just read directly to the Law of the Sea Treaty. Sounds good. I'm glad you gave me that lead, and we'll bring it up on my show tomorrow. Can I take about 40 seconds here to repeat something I've got today?
Yes, please do. And I want you to give out your website and radio information as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Drew Malone Raines III. You just have to put it in a search engine, Drew, D-R-E-W, Malone, M-A-L-O-N-E, Raines, R-A-I-N-E-S. And I'm all over the place. My website is the three W's, Alpha, Michael, Delta, Dot, Echo, Lima, the word equity, .com. And I want to, as we close tonight's show off with Mr. Don Nikoloff, the real researcher out there, I want to bring to mind the quote of Barack Hussein Obama in 2005, when most of us, like Don, Frank Whalen, Joe McNeil, myself, and many others on informational talk radio, were all upset, and we rode the white horses to Washington, D.C., fighting against Harriet Myers, who was placed up on the pedestal by George W. Bush to join the Supreme Court. And I quote from Barack Obama, October 14, 2005, quote, one thing that I do think is important is that the White House recognize that in the absence of any judicial record on her part, in the absence of any significant work that she appears to have done related to constitutional issues, that she's gonna need to be more forthcoming. And the White House is going to be more forthcoming than they were during the Roberts nomination. Ms. Myers is completely a blank slate. Barack Hussein Obama, Senator from Illinois, the United States Senate floor, October 14th, 2005. Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen Kagan. She, of course, cares. She wants to make a difference. But her slate is exactly that of Harriet Myers. This is a woman who thinks the government ought to determine who can say what's based on the effect of speech. They're going to shove this woman down our throat. And many people out there are going to hear a clip tomorrow from Bob Hope when he said in a movie in 1940 about zombies. And I quote Bob Hope, zombies? That sounds like a bunch of Democrats. You think about it, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Don. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you, Wind Talkers Radio Network, for doing your job to bring Don Nikoloff on the air around the world and to make A Marine Disposition the number one show on Wind Talkers, and on Thursdays, the number one show on Blog Talk Radio, the number four show on Mondays on Blog Talk Radio, and the number three show on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and God bless all of you. To all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi.
Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. I want to let the listeners know that I'll be on your show Monday. You'll be with me next Wednesday. Make a note of that, Drew. The 19th of May.
I don't have a calendar, but I'll get one out.
Just remember next Wednesday, and you'll be off.
That's my night on the town.
Huh. Well,
I have friends that come by and pick me up for a hot meal. I get a hot meal on Wednesdays, buddy.
Right.
I don't have to pay for it either.
All right. Well, thank you, Drew, and you have a good night, and I'll be listening to your show tomorrow as usual. As they say in the business, break a leg, but don't break it for real, you know.
Amen.
All right.
I got a broken leg, so I don't have to worry about it.
And let's all pray for Pastor James David Manning and wish him success in this upcoming trial that begins the whole event begins in about 7 hours. So if
0800 hours.
If you're in the New York area, make a trip to Harlem.
0800 hours, they're getting things together. 0900 hours, Harlem time, New York. They're going to be kicking it all off. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 1500 hour GMT. So think about checking out Dr. David James Manning's site. Pay attention to it. And I didn't mean to take the thunder out of you, Don, but I just had to let the guys know that this is one heck of an event.
You didn't take any thunder away from me, Drew. So
well, you know, I got I kind of kick posterior around here, so whatever.
Yeah. Well, for those folks in the military, you want to see the documentation, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles, then click on Teenage Mutant Ninja Birth Certificates, and you'll see the links within the text, especially when I name all the people that corresponded with Lonnie Roberts, the man that created a phony birth certificate for the 34th President of the United States. That wraps it up, folks. We're out of time. Our guest tonight has been former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. Check out his show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com on the Internet. Special thanks to Wind Talkers and Blog Talk for making this show possible there on their network. Appreciate it very much. Also want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight at BBS Radio. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than scientist and inventor, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.